Very good morning to you. Straight into it this morning, 4 minutes past 6 o'clock. We've got a big show coming up on the McCafe menu. Brett Phillips, what a day it was at the Australian Open yesterday. Storylines everywhere. Ash Barty through to the semis. Dylan Allcott is the Australian of the year. Congratulations to him. He's through. And then the circus that was the doubles with the Special Ks, just doing things that we have never seen on a tennis court before. Looking forward to speaking to BP about that. The Winter Olympics is nearly here. The chef de mission is Jeff Lipshut. He's going to join us. Looking forward to speaking to Jeff about that. And then the one-off Ashes test tomorrow. Hannah Darlington is going to join us as well. The Women's Ashes, which gets underway from about 8:40. Your calls, your text. The NS open lines 1300 736 736. The temper text machine is 0433 98 11 16. Get it fired up this morning and join in. We'd love your thoughts. Josh Jenkins is here, as he has been a lot throughout this summer. JJ, good morning to you.
Good morning, Kane. What about the Special Ks? Your boys?
What about the Special Ks knocking off Nadal on the main Channel 9?
Unbelievable. It just shows the power and the popularity that they've got at the moment. They're just... they're not redefining tennis, but they're just challenging the status quo with tennis. I'm very interested to speak to Brett Phillips at 7:40 because he and I had a bit of a discussion about noise. And I said, well, why can't you overcome a little bit of noise in tennis? Well, what about the antics post-game? What about the requests from Thanasi and Nick for the crowd to sink grog and do all sorts of things. So she was all happening yesterday.
Yeah, we'll get to that a little bit later on after 7 o'clock. We'll hear a little bit from Thanasi and what he had to say, and we'll speak about the crowd behaviour and what it has done, cheering after faults and things like that you just have never seen in tennis before. So, and I want to know if someone was there, what the atmosphere was like, and we'll speak to BP about it, but I don't think he was actually watching. He had some bigger fish to fry, so to speak, in the singles side of things. But if you were there, let us know what the atmosphere was like. There's a lot I want to speak about this morning, JJ. Did you see the former Australian of the Year? We have a new Australian of the Year. I'm not sure when the official duties will start to kick in for Dylan Allcott, but Grace Tame was the 2021 Australian of the Year.
She had
a visit with the Prime Minister yesterday and gave him absolutely nothing. So I don't know if I've seen scenes like this before. Usually, if you know you're not that comfortable in someone's company, you at least put on a fake smile, don't you? You shake hands, put on a fake smile. She gave the Prime Minister of the country the stink eye. She gave him nothing. I'm not sure I've seen anything more awkward.
Yeah, it was. I've only just recently watched it, and it was the old Channel 7 ISO cam in the footy when the camera follows the player and checks on their work rate. The camera followed her yesterday, and she was just filthy. She was fuming to be in his presence, and certainly didn't try and hide it. I presume she's gone in with the intention of making it be known that she's not happy with Mr. Morrison. And I think her aim was successful, Kane, because that was as awkward as you could possibly get,
and as obvious. And she's been. Well, she's been praised a lot, and I hate getting political on a sports show. There's no point in doing it. You can have your views on it, but there's obviously conflicting views on her behaviour. Some said it petulant and childish. Others have said good on her for standing up for her convictions and what she believes in. Her cause is amazing, and what she's been through is absolutely harrowing, and she's one of the more courageous people to get up there and speak and relive what has happened to her in the past. And she's done that day after day in 2021. So my full respect is there for her, but she's been smashed, as is the world, isn't it? I mean, you got half and half, some saying petulant, childish behaviour, others saying good on you and well done for standing up for your convictions. She's braver than I am. There's no way, regardless of what I thought of any politician or the Prime Minister of the country, that I would have behave like that. But anyway, you can have a view on it if you'd like to. I'm sure you will. 0433 98 11 16. With Sammy Edmund, I was speaking about electric cars, JJ. Does your family own an electric car yet?
We've got a hybrid.
Do you really?
Is that close? Yeah,
it's getting real close. And are you happy with it?
Very, very. It's a beautiful, beautiful vehicle, the hybrid. It's not as silent as you would think. It makes noise a fair bit. No, it's a beautiful car. You wouldn't know that it's got the speed and power that you need. It's got everything you need, and you save about, I reckon we save about 250-300 kilometers per tank.
Well, that's handy.
With the hybrid.
So I was sort of speculating, you know, what year a petrol car's gone. A lot of people are sending their thoughts in. Most of you out there are sort of saying 2035 to 2040 is about the time where everyone's going to be driving these electric vehicles. But what about what our magnificent producer Trent sent through yesterday? There is the first air car, the dual mode vehicle that can transform from a car into a plane, certified to fly after passing tests in Slovakia. JJ, I watched this video on social media. It scares the heck out of me. It honestly does. A flying car has been awarded an official certificate of airworthiness after completing 70 hours of rigorous flight testing, its developers have said. So,
70 hours is rigorous?
Well, I'd want a little bit more than that, wouldn't you?
Like, you want 700.
So it means the vehicle, it's got a 1.6-litre BMW engine, has taken a step closer to being mass-produced. And I watched the Instagram video it was. So, yeah, he goes on the runway, he flies as you'd expect, then he lands. The wings sort of pack up and then slide down. The big spoiler at the back automatically comes in, and it takes 3 minutes for this car to transform from a plane to a car. Now, I've seen some of the drivers in Melbourne, because I spent a lot of time in Melbourne, and you go from the airport to your hotel and there's some crazy individuals out there on those freeways, JJ. Are you going to trust your average citizen to have a car plane?
There's a lot to unpack here. I'm not happy with the amount of testing that's gone on for a start. So I'll be allowing someone else to buy the first air car. I'll be deep in the queue if we can afford one at all. The BMW engine reeks of cash straight away. We need one where it can just be automatic, almost helicopterish, where we can just turn from a car. Look, it's busy. There's traffic. I'm going straight up. I'm out of here. Now that probably causes some air traffic control issues, but you need one that's. If we're going to get fair income, we need to just basically be where we are, wherever we are. My car's out the front of SEN here in South Bank. Bang, straight up, chopper home, straight back to training at the Cats this morning. That's what I need.
Yeah, well, you're probably right, because the video that I saw, he's on the runway.
You've still got to go to the airport.
Yeah, so it sort of defeats the purpose, doesn't it? So it made its first flight in 2020, and it completed its first inner-city flight in June last year. The other issue that I've got with it, it's a really ugly looking thing. Like it looks like something out of the Jetsons. You might be a bit young to remember the cartoon The Jetsons, where it was a futuristic cartoon family. It might have only been set in sort of 2020, like where we're at now, but they had all sorts of flying vehicles and flying cars and things like that. That's what it looks like. So there's a couple of issues with it. My main concern would be safety and trusting my fellow citizen to be able to fly this thing. But anyway, it's taken more than 100,000 man hours to reach the stage of certified prototype. So there's a bit more.
Have we got a recommended retail price?
No, we don't have a recommended retail price.
You'd imagine if it can fly, we're talking big dollars.
Yeah, you'd be talking
hundreds.
I was going to say it'd have to be a million.
$7.99.
When you look at how expensive these yachts are, so if it's anyway, I'm not sure what a chopper costs these days, JJ. But
neither.
Are you interested in the ratings for the Bills and the Chiefs game the other day?
We spoke about how popular these games were and how crazy they were, and we're fortunate enough to have Lindsay Jones on from The Athletic yesterday, who lives in Denver and could tell us about how massive these games were in the States. But the Bills and the Chiefs game topped out yesterday. The ratings were gigantic. Topped out at 51.5 million viewers. Just incredible numbers. What's that? A bit more than two times our country in America, which is just incredible. So that's basically, I think there might be one in five Americans were tuned into that game. I think America's got about 250 million, something like that.
Yeah.
Happy to stand to be corrected. But they're just frightening numbers.
So to put that in perspective, and the population, as you've alluded to, much larger, but about 2.2 million watched the grand final. So that's about what watched the AFL grand final. The Super Bowl, a quick Google search would say that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the Chiefs was watched by 91.63 million viewers in the United States. That sounds about right. So a bit over half the audience of the Super Bowl watched that. But that would that be the most watched playoff game? It'd be up there.
No, there was one 5 years ago. So anything involving the Dallas Cowboys, I think, tops it. Yeah, so that's the Dallas Cowboys and the teams who have got the popularity, Washington, Philadelphia, those teams have topped it. But it's just, I think, I can't remember the stat. I brought it in for we spoke about it last week. 91 of the top 100 TV programs last year in America were NFL matches. That includes all your big time TV shows in America. 91 of the top 100 were NFL games. So that just
What are they doing to capture the market? Like, so competitive. Baseball, the NBA, the ice hockey, not so much. But soccer's got more popular over there. What are they doing? Because I keep hearing younger people, shorter attention spans, they want shorter sports. So this is what T20 cricket, and that's what they're trying to tap into. The basketball, shorter, where you can sort of in and out 2 hours. Some of these games, the last quarter alone, takes over an hour. What is it about this that is so popular, do you think?
I really don't know. I wonder whether it's the injection. Fantasy football is gigantic all over the world. Like, you wouldn't be able to walk around the SEN building here and not bump into 5, 10, 15 people who play fantasy NFL. So I wonder whether that's had a huge impact. But
gambling.
Yeah, the gambling aspect, particularly in America, the gambling, sports wagering has only sort of just been legalized in most states for a long time. You couldn't bet on sports. Now it's all I hear. And in the podcasts, American podcasts I listen to, your man, Colin Cowherd, someone I like to listen to, he's gone from the best sports podcaster. He's basically full-time gambling these days. So it's changed a lot over there, and whatever they've been able to do, you're right. I think an NFL game, there's only 12 minutes on average of actual action. So yet the game takes three and a half hours. So for whatever reason, they've been able to capture the attention of people whose attention is hard to capture these days.
1-300-736-736 is the ENS open line. Line's available if you want to get involved at any stage through until 9 o'clock. We've got a big morning coming up on Summer Breakfast. On the other side of this, JJ, are you a Wordle man or not?
No, I'm certainly not. And I'm getting to the point of stubbornness now. As popular as this game might start to become, I'm going to be the one who says, no, I'm not going down this path.
Well, it's become a craze, a worldwide obsession. Now, they're now saying that 3 million people across the world, I would have thought it'd be more than that, because judging by your Twitter timeline, it seems like every second person is playing. But 3 million players across the world are using it. It's now starting to, it's an English language version. It's now coming up in different languages. It increases 26% a day on average. Wow. That is how many people are talking about it on Twitter as well.
Are you in or out?
I'm absolutely in.
Ooh.
But I don't share. I'm not one of the. I don't want to share it on Twitter, because I'm one of those people that are really sick of the tweets coming up as well. And I don't want to rain on anyone's parade or take away from their fun. But I think, okay, it's not something you sort of really need to share. I just wonder whether the people out there, when you are unsuccessful, when it takes you 4 or 5 shots to get the word, whether you think you're stupid, because that's what I think. It took the other day, there was this word, null, I think it was, and it took me forever. Like, honestly, it took me an hour to work out what it was. I felt so stupid. But there's a new report that's saying, from the NBC, it assured us that being bad at Wordle doesn't make you dumb. JJ, so right. I've sorted that out, and there's a perplexing idea, they're saying, but solving the puzzle in fewer guesses involves more luck, not more skill. So all of you out there that are bragging that it took you 3 shots doesn't mean you are any smarter than the rest of us, like me, who on Monday morning it took me an hour to solve it. So I'm happy about
that. There you go. So it's all about luck.
Can we get you to have a go today? Can Trent and the guy?
Well,
can
I won't be downloading the game.
No, you just go to a website. Just put in Wordle, and it's Wordle. very. We're going to get JJ on Wordle this morning, and he's going to have a crack at it. And I reckon we'll get him hooked. 0433 98 11 16 is the Temper Text. We've got a lot to talk about this morning. It's 19 minutes past 6 o'clock, and we'll be back after this.
Kogan, make the switch to a great value credit card. Visit koganmoney.com.au. Smarter, quieter, safer. Garage doors redefined. Discover more at 4ddoors.com.au. Summer breakfast on SEN.
24 minutes after 6 o'clock, Kane Corns and Josh Jenkins with you. Huge McCafe menu coming up this morning. Brett Phillips, huge day at the Australian Open yesterday. Ash Barty will play off for a place in the Grand Slam final on Thursday. We're going to speak to Hannah Darlington ahead of the one-off Women's Ashes Test, which starts tomorrow. And Jeff Lipshut is the chef de mission of the Australian Winter Olympics team. Your calls, your text, get it fired up this morning. 0433 98 11 16 is the Temper Text. So Ash Barty's brought back the slice, JJ. And I'm not sure if she's brought it back, but she uses it a lot more than your average modern tennis player, right? She's... Her opponent yesterday, Pegula, she couldn't handle slice. And I was like, why is it that her opponent can't hit the ball deep into her backhand and then come in and put away the volley with the slice? I mean, it sounds very simple, but I would have thought that would be a tactic worth using. But it got me thinking about the old school sports move that perhaps we could bring back. I mean, there's the torp in footy. I mean, can we... They used to kick it a lot more than we kick it now, and you would think with full-time professional footballers who have a lot more time to train and perfect the art of it, crowd loves it, and it's a big weapon from a kick-out or when you're having a shot for goal. Could we bring that back? The sky hook in basketball? Could anyone bring that back? Is it 0433 98 11 16? Is there an old-school sports move on the back of Ash Barty and her devastating slice that perhaps... modern day sports could bring back.
Why
can't you do the sky? Give me your view because you watch it a lot closer than I do.
Well,
why the sky hook wouldn't work.
I don't know if the big men. Well, there's not as many big men anymore. The game has the small ball world of basketball for one. I don't know that the big men are skilled enough. Joel Embiid could certainly master a sky hook. He's highly skilled. But I don't know. The game's just moved towards three-pointers. I'm sure your boys, when they go to a basketball court, they're not going down on the low block to practice their skyhooks. They're
not doing layups.
They want to drop threes like Steph Curry.
That's it. They're not doing layups. But the game evolves, doesn't it? And that's why watching Ash Barty is a different kind. Because, tennis gets boring. Let's be completely honest. If you're watching... a five-hour tennis match and both players are standing from the back of the court just trading blows. I absolutely admire the skill and the physical output that it takes to do that, but we don't have Pat Rafter with the serve and volley. Like, will that ever come back in, the serve and volley? I mean, it was a great weapon. And Kareem Abdul-Jabbar with the skyhook, they're telling me it was unstoppable. Like, you just couldn't stop it. So, I don't know. If you've got one out there, 0433 98 11 16, send us a text. The old school sports move that... perhaps can come back in vogue.
Well, there's no reason the torp can't be in vogue, can it? Because even you think about the footy that the players get to use these days, there's six or seven footies. The footy's brand new. It's much easier to kick. It doesn't get waterlogged and all those sorts of things. You'd think that it should be much easier. I think Zach Tui let rip with one against St Kilda last year, and the crowd erupted. It's almost the most exciting thing we see in footy these days.
But yeah, who's the best you've seen at... The exponent of the torp.
I'd nearly say Brodie Smith.
Yeah.
He looks ready to just go to America and have a go at punting. I know it's not that easy, and I know a few guys who have done it, but he can just go catch two steps and just let one fly. I don't think I've really ever seen him do one in an AFL game.
Yeah, so I played with Stewie Yu, and him and Roger James were ahead of their time with the amount of work they put into their skill. Like, they were the ones out there having trick shots and shots from the boundary and things like that. He could just launch a torp at will. And, every now and then Mark Williams would set up a set play from a kick out where he had the license to do that. But if the three-point shot is back in basketball, in vogue, it's time to bring back the Torp, I reckon. It could be a real weapon. I think all you need is a player that can execute, the practice to put into it, and a coach that is willing to let fly and cop a couple of consequences. But even a bad Torp sometimes is a good Torp because it drops short inside the foot. It's not a disaster. Like, it's as if you're gonna.
It's as much much chance of landing in my arms and my teammates' arms, it is the opposition. Mm. But I guess we're just wired to be worried about what might happen on the counter versus what could happen from a positive point of view. What about we've had one, Jeff, off the temper text, the butter knife in golf, the one iron.
The flat
bat, just punch it. I'm not a big golfer.
I'm not an analytical golf expert either. In fact, I'm the world's worst
knife.
Golfer. So explain that to us, Jeff. 0433 9811 16, or even better, give us a call. 0433 1300 736 736, and get involved. A lot of text coming through about Grace Tame. As I said, you want to get political. Everyone's got a view on that. But Mez says, congratulations to Grace Tame for giving ScoMo nothing. He has given nothing to support women and violence issues. I think she's an absolute champion. She is braver than most, says Mez in July. I agree how brave she is, Mez. Absolutely. Grace Tame, just evidence of how the world has lost manners and common courtesy. She should be thanking for the opportunity she has had and at least make eye contact. So those two texts are symbolic of the feedback that was on social media, JJ, in the world of 2022. That is what you get.